The science is in, supposedly. The science is settled, supposedly. Man-made global warming is wreaking havoc on the environment. Of course, nowadays, the preferred term is not global warming, it's climate change. To provide an update on this topic is Dr. Cal Beissner, spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Cal, welcome back to the program.
Thanks very much, Jerry. It's always good to be with you.
Sure, thank you. Now, even the Pope has gotten into this where it seems as if, and I'm not sure I can directly say this, it would appear that he has agreed with the idea that man is causing the environment, he's causing climate change, causing global warming. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, he's made some comments recently that would point in that direction. But we need to keep something in mind. This kind of thing happens frequently in the advance of popes doing encyclicals. They'll say various things in fairly informal, casual circumstances, and then when it comes to actually putting the encyclical together, they're much more careful with their language. I have a number of different friends who are scientists and Roman Catholics, including scientists, climate scientists who are Roman Catholics, who are, fairly well in touch with the advisors of the Pope on this issue. And their expectation is that probably when the encyclical itself comes out, it will lean toward embracing the idea that human activity has a significant impact on global average temperature through the emission of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. But it will probably not go so far as to say that's the primary cause of recent warming. And it will probably not go so far as to say that that warming is dangerous or in the foreseeable future would become dangerous. Instead, probably what the Pope will focus on is a pretty traditional aspect of Catholic teaching, and that is that that we have an obligation to protect the poor against harm, and that one way that Western developed nations can do that is to promote economic development in the poorer nations of the world, because that economic development will equip people in those countries to thrive regardless of the sort of climate that the future brings, whether it's a warmer or a colder climate. Wealthy people can protect themselves against the elements, and poorer people can't. So I think that's probably what we'll see, but of course we won't know till the encyclical comes out.
Hmm. Is the globe warming?
Well, present tense, nobody knows. Has it warmed over the last 150 years? Yes, we're pretty certain of that, probably by something in the neighborhood of 0.4 to 0.8 degrees Celsius. That's depending on which of the various different data sets you use and how big their margins of error are. Has the globe warmed in the last 18 years and 3 months? The answer is no. According to the majority of the best data sets, there's been no statistically significant global warming in the last 18 years and 3 months. The NASA came out with a report a little over a week ago, boldly declaring that 2014 was the hottest year on record. The New York Times, in fact, put it hottest year in recorded history. Now, I'm a historian, and recorded history stretches back about 5,000 years. What actually was meant by on record in NASA's terminology was from 1880 to the present. And interestingly enough, NASA's claim about that was that 2014 was 1/100th of a degree Celsius warmer than the next warmest year. But as a matter of fact, the error margin of NASA's measurements of global average temperature on an annual basis is 1/10th of a degree. So in other words, the margin of error is 10 times as big as the difference between 2014 and the next warmest year. And in fact, the next 7 or 8 warmest years fall within the margin of error. So actually, 2014 could have been the 8th or 9th warmest year out of that period. So what happens is that scientific sources will report things, and then the media will will not really understand them and hype them with headline language like what the New York Times uses. But in reality, no, there's been no warming for 18 years, 3 months, and it's quite likely that human activity has had only a very minor part in the warming that has occurred over the last 150 years.
You know, I don't get it, because when you think about global warming as a problem, it's really only something that's arisen in the last 15 years or so, you know, in the national consciousness. And yet you're saying that for the last 18 years, it's on record as not getting warmer. And yet you said that the New York Times claimed that 2014 was the warmest year on record, but again, by such a small margin, as you pointed out, the margin of error is 10 times greater.
New York Times did not point out that small margin, by the way.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, that's poor reporting. I'm sorry.
Even NASA didn't in its original press release.
Oh. It seems like there's such a lot of hype on this, but as I say, this problem is only about 18 years old as far as the, you know, the public attention, and yet you're saying for the last 18 years it's on record the globe is not warming.
Yeah, however, Jerry, we need to be fair to the other side on this. Climate warms and cools cyclically on various shorter cycles and longer cycles, and it was difficult to tell prior to about the 12-year length of no warming whether this no warming period was statistically significant or just a sort of a brief delay. Once we got past 12 years, it became much more difficult to reconcile the actual observed temperatures, no increase, with the simulations done by the computer models that the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and various others use to justify their fears of dangerous warming in the future. What we now see is that the average simulations of those models overstate the total warming from 1979, which is the beginning of the satellite record, the most reliable record of global average temperature, overstate the actual observed warming by about 2.5 times. And none of the models gets it right at all. They're all on the high end. So that means the models are wrong, and therefore they cannot be relied upon to tell us what future climate will be, which means that they cannot be relied upon to guide us in making any policy decisions. But a lot of this stuff is very politically driven. There are political forces that want to find some excuse, for instance, to usher in greater government control over people's lives. And since energy factors into everything that we do, therefore, if you can get an excuse for government to control energy, you can get an excuse for government to control pretty much every aspect of people's lives. And that's really what has driven the fear-mongering about global warming, as distinct from the genuine scientific curiosity about, I wonder how much warming comes from added CO2 in the atmosphere.
Is the science settled?
Not by a long shot, and never has been, although Al Gore began claiming that it was settled clear back in 1992, and at the time there had been no attempt by anybody to try to find out whether there was any scientific consensus. But the reality is that every attempt to show a scientific consensus, whether by polling scientists or by surveying their publications in referee journals, whatever, has been deeply flawed by logical problems or problems of survey methodology and so on. And there just is not that sort of consensus. Further, consensus is not a scientific value. It's a political value. You know, when somebody gets the consensus of votes, he gets into office. But in science, evidence and the validity of one's inferences from those evidence are what are important, not consensus. Consensus is basically truth by popular vote, and that's a logical fallacy. And then one other aspect about this idea of consensus or the science is settled has been pointed out by Georgia Tech climate scientist Judith Curry in a very, very fine article called No Consensus on Consensus, in which she points out that because the UN IPCC actually set out with the goal of manufacturing a consensus, whatever consensus arose was therefore worthless, completely worthless, in describing what scientists would have thought if they had simply followed their own research. So no, the science is not settled, consensus is not valuable in science, and what consensus there is was manufactured, not spontaneous.
We're talking with Cal Beissner, CornwallAlliance.org, for more information, Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Dr. Cal Beissner is the spokesman for that group and is a noted theologian as well. Now, I understand, speaking of consensus, that recently there was some sort of vote, non-binding resolution, as I understand it, in the House and Senate related to this issue, and that Senator Inhofe, who's been a stalwart to recognize that all the hype about global warming is just that, he apparently even voted the wrong way on this particular thing, but it was a non-issue. Can you clarify this? Or maybe I got it wrong.
Clarify. Inhofe did not vote the wrong way on this. He explained his vote very clearly.
I love Inhofe. He's the best.
Yeah. The amendment that was offered stated, and it was offered by a far-left liberal Democrat, stated that climate change is not a hoax. Well, Inhofe agreed with that. Climate change is not a hoax. Climate changes. It changes all the time, and he pointed that out in his speech prior to the vote. What he believes is a hoax is a lot of the publications attempting to give scientific evidence for the claim that human activity is the main driver of recent climate change, and that climate change is going to be dangerous on the whole, and that we would be well off to spend hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars trying to fight that climate change. Those three issues are what he would describe as hoax, and he wouldn't even describe the entire notion that human activity contributes to climate change as a hoax. Just the notion that some of the research that's been done to back that up has been hoax type. For instance, he's very, very well acquainted with what is called the hockey stick graph, and that was a graph that was developed by Michael Mann and others back in 1998. Mm-hmm. It made it look as if global average temperature had been relatively stable for the last 2,000 years until the late 19th century, and all at once it shot up dramatically.
Presumably because of the Industrial Revolution.
Presumably because of that. Well, what turned out upon very careful examination of Mann's methodology is that he had employed a statistical technique that was invalid, that in fact could be applied to a random set of numbers or to any set of numbers, random or not, and would automatically pick out those numbers that would yield a hockey stick shape. So that turned out to be at best, gross incompetence on the part of Mann and his co-authors, if not, in fact, outright dishonesty.
You know, and it's terrible because the president is making decisions based on this through executive fiat through the Department of the Environment or whatever. So here we have a situation through the EPA where essentially the president is imposing laws on the country and regulations and so forth that we, the people, rejected through our duly elected legislators. And we only have about a minute left, so your comments on that.
Yeah, that's true. And first off, let me just say, your listeners can learn a whole lot more about this, not only at cornwallalliance.org, our website, but also at facebook.com/Cornwall Alliance. Cornwall Alliance has a Facebook page, and we post things there about these issues all the time, every day. In fact, just yesterday, I had a brand new article published in Christian Post titled "Oppressing the Poor in the Name of Fighting Global Warming," and it actually takes on precisely what the president said in his State of the Union address about global warming and the need to fight it. And there I show what's wrong scientifically as well as what's wrong ethically and economically. The fact is that there are many, many threats to human well-being that are far greater than climate change. And our very spending on
climate change is going
to have devastating impacts on the poor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cornwallalliance.org for more information. Dr. Cal Beissner, thanks so much for being with us.
Jerry, thank you.
Keep up the great work. Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.